Miles, there wasn't much surprises on Saturday. The Chiefs and the Eagles both win. I think a lot of people expected that. But Sunday, both those games were close. I don't know many people who thought the Bengals were going to dominate the Bills, especially with a banged-up offensive line. But, man, at times that just looked like men against boys. They were in complete control of that game, and the Bills like never got anything going defensively. Why was their defense so inept against this banged-up O-line of the Bengals?
Well, I think a big part of it is just that this is who the Bills have been, and I think it's almost more an offensive issue than a defensive issue, and this is who the Cincinnati Bengals have been. And you know, I mean, the Bengals have been basically the standard bearer in the AFC for the last year plus, but, you know, even though they went to the Super Bowl, coming into the season it was, oh, yeah, you know, the Bills are loaded, the Bills are this, the Bills are that. And the Chiefs, well, what are they going to be able to do without Tyreek Hill? And they've got Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes has been the MVP of the National Football League, make no mistake, in 2022. But Cincinnati has been playing the best football in the AFC, basically, I think, since losing to the Browns on Halloween. I mean, after that, they haven't lost. And, you know, I don't always feel good when I say this because of what happened with DeMar Hamlin. And obviously, we're so happy that he was able to get the medical care he needed when he went into cardiac arrest on the field. But the Cincinnati Bengals started out that game dominating the Buffalo Bills physically, yep. You know, and with what they were doing. So this, to me, even without the three starters on the offensive line, it was not a shock. I thought that they would win going into this game. I didn't know that they would kick their butt that much. But yeah. I did think that Cincinnati had something for Buffalo.
Okay. So if you're the Bills, where do they go from here? What do they need?
It's interesting because there's no clear way of saying, well, the Buffalo Bills need to get this. I mean, they need probably another good receiving weapon to put opposite Stephon Diggs, right? Because I think that once Steph Diggs gets taken away, then there are just so few options that have been reliable targets for Josh Allen, and that's kind of been something that's reared its ugly head over the last year plus now. I mean, when Gabe Davis had that huge game against the Kansas City Chiefs in last year's playoffs, it looked like, okay, this is somebody that they're going to be able to rely upon going forward, and it was very clear throughout the 2022 season that Davis is not that guy when it comes to being the best second option. Somebody that else that they can rely upon for getting to 1,000 yards in a season. He's not necessarily that. So they've got to address that, and then I think they also have to address their pass rush, which is unfortunate because, you know, you go out and you sign Von Miller, he ends up tearing the ACL, and that kind of takes away your closer from that perspective. So those are two areas where I feel like if you improve there, then you're going to be in a better spot.
The Dallas Cowboys, Tony Pollard injury. That's probably the worst guy, CeeDee Lamb, to go down for them. They didn't seem to have an answer after that against the 49ers. But, you know, one could argue that the lack of a second receiver all season long became incredibly painfully obvious in this game against the 49ers, because it was basically like, we'll throw the CeeDee Lamb and no one else and hope that he can get us the ball downfield.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's sort of a similar thing what we're talking about with Buffalo, right? I mean, you just have CeeDee Lamb, and then you have Tony Pollard, and you have Zeke Elliott, but he's not necessarily the same player that he was a couple of years ago, which you expect because that's the way it works with running backs, right? So, yeah, it wasn't really a surprise to me the way that game turned when Tony Pollard went out. I mean, he really has been one of the most critical pieces for the Dallas Cowboys over the course of the season. So he goes out, they're not able to get anything really going. And who knows if that's because Pollard is out or it's also because the 49ers defense is just that good. So it's one of those, I think it's column A and column B situations.
The Chiefs, obviously there was a scare with Mahomes and, you know, he came back for a bit, but he's clearly banged up now. It's a high ankle sprain. And the amazing treatment that athletes can get now, you know, he's obviously going to be ready to start. How effective he is remains to be seen. But if you look at Cincinnati's weapons, top to bottom, from quarterback to running back to receivers, I think it's fair to say they got more weapons than KC. Are they better, and would you potentially put them as the favorite in this game?
Well, they're not asking me, so the betting odds have shown that Kansas City's favored by a point or two. I'm not sure what the line is, at least at this point, but I know that was the initial one. I would not be surprised at all if Cincinnati wins this game, and I you know, may pick them to win later in the week once I have all my thoughts settled about it. But I think when you're looking at the Chiefs, what they've got that the Bengals don't is that seasoned, experienced tight end in Travis Kelce, who, I mean, he had 14 catches, you know, the other day, or 12, 14, whatever it was. And that's something that even though Hayden Hurst is good, he's not that, right? And I think when you have that kind of element, that helps you in the postseason. And, you know, of course, Cincinnati's got Ja'Marr Chase, they've got T. Higgins, they've got Tyler Boyd, they got Joe Mixon who can do all kinds of stuff. But when you have a quarterback who is as special as Patrick Mahomes is, he just elevates everybody that much more. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been playing outstanding football. You've got somebody in Kadarius Toney who's elevated his level. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster who's been showing incredible chemistry with Patrick Mahomes throughout the course of the season. And Pacheco has been running the ball really, really well too. So I think that there is still enough around Patrick Mahomes that they can not just be competitive, but also win that game, even though he's going to be running around on a hurt ankle.
What about the Eagles and the 49ers? Now, this is the third trip in 4 years to the NFC Championship game for the 49ers. That's pretty solid, I would say. And now you got the Eagles, who were dominant until Hurts got injured. Then they had a little bit of a blip. They come back. He's healthy. And they'd absolutely dominated the Giants. That game was over at halftime, and they just kind of, you know, played out the final 30 minutes. Who do you like early on? It's only Monday, but who do you like this week, Eagles, Giants? Or, sorry, 49ers.
I like the Eagles, and I think a big part of it is that the Eagles have been great all year, you know, and it was one of those situations where they were beating teams, and then they sometimes only narrowly beat teams. You know, I think about that Colts game that they barely won, but the good teams, the championship caliber teams, they find ways to win those games where they're not necessarily playing their best. And so because the Eagles have done that, because they've shown that they can throw the ball all around the field if they need to, you know, this week they had over 250 rushing yards against the Giants. You won't just do that in the postseason, especially against a division rival. So I think that even though the 49ers are also a great team, you know, they've got a fantastic defense. Brock Purdy is playing better than Jimmy Garoppolo ever did this year. I just feel like the Eagles – at home, doing what they do, will be able to beat the 49ers with a rookie quarterback.
You know, Purdy, it's amazing, the rookie quarterback, because I think most people thought it would have been Trey Lance, the rookie quarterback, leading him, not Purdy.
Yeah.
But what it illustrates, just, you know, a good game plan and how quarterbacks, you know, hey, I know Tom Brady's, you know, the exception to the sixth rounder, but there's lots of quarterbacks who can be good QBs on teams where they're not rushed, but more so when they give a package. Like, Purdy doesn't have to be a savior in that offense, right? They got a really good scheme, and they just basically ask him not to make many mistakes, which is easier said than done. Right, but how impressed are you about him, but about the play-calling design that they have around him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan is as good of a play caller there is in the league. I mean, to me, it's Andy Reid. You know, you've also got Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniels up there, Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, who's up there. I don't know that there are many people who do it better than Kyle Shanahan, though. And you see when guys are schemed to be as wide open as they are. You know, I mean, it's basically like a quarterback hitting a layup. I mean, there are some throws where it's like, yeah, you and me could probably go out there and we would be able to hit it because Kyle Shanahan understands how to attack defenses that well. So, yeah, I think that you have to give Brock Purdy credit for sure because he's the one that's out there executing. But I don't know that there are many situations that would be as good for a seventh-round pick in the draft, let alone the last pick in the draft, to come on in there and try to help a team win a Super Bowl than the one that they're in right now.
And, Miles, one last one. There was a talk today, of course, because they were on the verge of having a neutral site game for the AFC Championship. But Cincinnati won, and as Joe Burrow said, there'll be a lot of refunds for those tickets. Now there's all the talk about how much more money can be made if you host them neutral. Do you think this will ever come to fruition? Would the NFL be that greedy to take championship games away from home teams?
I certainly think it's possible, but I don't really see a persuasive argument if you are a member club, right, and you are somebody like the Chiefs or the Bills or the Bengals. Let's just go with those three teams. And you have a situation where your quarterback is going to be good enough for probably the next 10 years at least, where you have a chance to host that game. Why would you want that revenue that's yours to then be spread out among all of the other member clubs? You know, and if you are Green Bay, for instance, how would you ever host a championship game if what they would probably do is put it in a dome so you have the climate-controlled environment? I don't know that there are enough yes votes that would happen sometime all that soon because I know that the NFL is greedy, and so whenever you're saying, well, the NFL could be that greedy, yeah, you're probably right. And it may come eventually, but I don't know that there would be enough momentum to have that happen in the next, let's call it, year or two.
Who are you picking this weekend? Who's going to the Super Bowl?
First instinct is to say Eagles and Bengals.
Eagles, Bengals. All right, Miles, appreciate your time, man. Have a great week.
All right, you too, guys. Take care.